Welcome to it, episode 9 of The Block Party, powered by Block Asset. Hope you are well. I'm Adam Catterall. Pleasure to be back in your company. As you can see, I'm not in my usual studio. I am on location this week in an office block in London. It's a little bit weird, this one. So if people do start walking in and out of this room as we are doing this live stream, that's the explanation for you. We've got an absolute cracking show lined up for you. A little bit of a new event as well to announce to the community. If this is the first time that you've come along to the Block Party, first of all, where have you been? We've been absolutely rammed for the last 8 episodes. I was on location last week as well, out in Ibiza, wearing daft hats and putting sunglasses on, having a tequila or two whilst we were having a bit of a show. But the guest list keeps on rolling week after week. And this week, we've got it action-packed for you as well. First and foremost, what is Block Party? Well, this is your weekly get-together for like-minded enthusiasts to speak about all things sports, all things crypto, all things NFT. We encourage you to come and join that community. Now, the way that you go about joining that community, very simply, if you check the description of this live stream, you'll see many different links to many different places, whether that be all the social media accounts here at Block Asset, whether it be this very YouTube channel that you're watching this live stream on, or whether it be the Discord. I encourage you to join up on that Discord because there's loads of things that are going on a day-by-day, week-by-week basis that are of benefit to you, especially if you're a member of the community. Now, coming up on today's show, if you're into your MMA, you're going to love this because in a couple of weeks' time, a week on Saturday, in fact, this man is headlining at a UFC fight night. It's a fight that has been booked on several occasions. It's fallen off on a couple of occasions, so we're keeping all our fingers crossed that this fight does actually go ahead. It's the Battle of the Rafaels. That's what we're referring to it as. It is, of course, Rafael Dos Anjos against our guest tonight, Rafael Fiziev. So make sure you stick around for that because this guy is absolutely stellar. He's got a wonderful backstory. He's a fantastic mixed martial artist and we're looking forward to having him on the show. After him, we're going to be speaking to Armin Sarukian, who was obviously in the main event of the weekend against Matthias Gamrot. He sadly was on the wrong end of a decision. We'll obviously talk about his feelings now that we are a couple of days removed from that decision that went against him in a very, very close fight. We'll talk about the things that he likes to get up to in his life, and we'll also talk about how he sees his career in the UFC lightweight division playing out. We'll also talk about all other things as well connected to the world of sports. So if you want to get involved in the show, you know what to do. Stick your stuff in the comments section. We do like to read it as we are going along throughout the course of the show. I'll announce the new event that we are going to be getting up to as a family here at Block Asset, because it's going to kind of coincide with the podcast that the guys do in the Discord on Wednesdays. I'll explain that for you in a minute. But before that, I'll best introduce my mate who's with me side by side. He's a little bit upset, actually, that I'm back this week because I think he enjoyed flying the plane on his own last week. He kind of enjoyed elbowing me out the way. It is, of course, the one and only Mr. Nick P. How are you, mate? You good?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, it's good. I've got to be honest. It's kind of nice getting back into my role as co-pilot. You know, I just like to sit here and talk shit and let you do the heavy lifting. So I'm glad you're back. Even though, are you still on your holidies? What's going on here?
No. Listen, as you know, mate, we are entering a crazy time for the world of fight sports. We've seen some monster press conferences last week, haven't we? Where we saw Canelo and Triple G for a third time. In fact, they're having a blooming press conference in every location all over the planet. Yeah. How many press conferences do they need? I've seen them at the Yankee Stadium going nose to nose over the last 24 hours. Absolutely crackers. I thought it was all done last Friday. But of course, last week in the Middle East, Anthony Joshua, Alexander Usyk went nose to nose for the fight that's coming up on August the 20th. And tomorrow is the UK version of that. So I'm in London at the moment. I'm actually doing some work, Nick, right? I can't just keep putting my feet up and like messing about. I'm actually doing a bit of graft. So I've had to come to London to get prepared for all that. And in the meantime, I didn't want to let the community down. I'm here for my Tuesday night extravaganza. So I'm in an office block, as I was just explaining. So if anybody does walk in behind me.
I was going to say, that looks like a revolving door behind you. It looks like you're sitting in the entrance to like John Lewis or something.
I am. That's exactly where I am, mate. I smell good, though. I'm just next to the perfume counter. Smell extremely nice. Listen, we've got a good show lined up for tonight. Two elite mixed martial artists that we're very fond of. Obviously, one in the main event and a week of Saturday. It's going to be an interesting conversation with Armin, isn't it? Because we did our own personal podcast earlier on this week, and we were both of the conclusion that this man was very unlucky in his fight with Matthias Gamrot. That's not taking anything away from Matthias, because we're big fans of his as well. but he was very unlucky at Armour not to get the decision in the fight, the main event of the weekend.
Yeah, he was, absolutely. It was a cracking fight, don't get me wrong. And once again, just a couple of weeks after we had another fantastic lightweight on the show. This, the division is so stacked. You know what? I'm gonna have to post something after the show tonight about how the not top 10 is actually better than the top 10. I think the not top 10 in the lightweight division, one-on-one, would beat the actual top 10. There's just so much talent there. And, of course, both those guys are included in that. It's great to have Armin on the show. Can't wait to catch up to him. And hopefully his spirits aren't down, because it was one of those performances that, yeah, of course, I think the judges got it wrong, but it was a close fight. And he absolutely, his stock only raises because of it.
The not top 10 is actually a top 20, isn't it? There's about 20 athletes there.
I know, but it just sounds better. The not top 10 sounds better than the top 10.
Yeah, it's very good, mate. It's very good. Listen, we're obviously here to speak to mixed martial artists and athletes from around the world on a week-by-week basis, and we thoroughly enjoy doing that. We're also here to benefit the community. I can see there's a few people in the comment section getting a bit giddy. They're all smiling. They're all thinking to themselves, what's this new thing that Block Asset are going to be doing? Well, on a week-by-week basis now, what we are going to bring to you are Block Burn events. That's what we're going to label them as, all right? Block Burn events. I'll tell you more about it in a minute. I want you to watch this. Roll the VT.
I'm happy. Really glad I got sunshine. In a bag, I'm useless. But not for long, the future is coming on. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine. In a bag, I'm useless. But not for long, the future is coming on, it's coming.
Yes, brand new to this show on a Tuesday evening. We are going to do the Blockburn events, of which will culminate in a winner being announced on the Discord podcast, which takes place on Wednesdays. Now, best explain this, and I'm going to explain this as best as I possibly can, because I've got it all written down here, because I don't want to miss anything out for you. This is basically the evolution of the Block Asset NFT collection. It's a 250 block burn. One burner, you, will receive the very first Block Asset upgraded NFT, personally upgraded by Dosbrack. Send 250 block to the Block Asset burn wallet. The QR code is going to come up on the screen very, very shortly. All tokens sent will be burnt and taken out of circulation. As you know, Block Asset smashed the till record by buying a till NFT from Magic Eden for just under 50 sol. Now, the new owner of this NFT will be announced in the Discord podcast hosted by Rusty tomorrow. All the regulars tune in tomorrow. You know the script with this. It's a fantastic listen. In fact, everything that the community is doing at the moment is fantastic. I chipped in, and Nick chipped in a couple of weeks ago on the Twitter Spaces conversation, which takes place directly after this. So make sure you're around for that as well. But join the Discord. That's what I said right at the start of the show. Join the Discord. The link is in the stream description of this particular video. Join that Discord, so therefore you get to understand what the community is all about. So it's a 250 block burn. One burner will receive an exclusive upgraded, mutated. There you go. It's a mutant NFT. And the best thing about this is that it's one of one.
Can we see it? Can I see the NFT? There we go. Oh, look at that.
Hey. One of one.
Mate, that's sick, actually. That actually is amazing.
There you go. The QR code is on the screen for you right now. So that is the wallet. And like I said, it's 250 block, of which will be burnt. So you're burning 250 block, and one burner will receive that. And it is a one of one. There you go. Just bear me a second. I'm sending 250 blocks.
I want it. The winner, like one of those till NFTs went for, how many sold did you say?
50.
Mate, imagine what that one of one would be worth. Sick. Yeah, man.
Anyway, the winner will be announced in the Discord podcast hosted by Rusty tomorrow. All right. So again, we completely appreciate with time zones and people's commitments to work and all that type of stuff. Not everybody can tune into the live stream in the community. Completely get that. So hopefully you'll watch this back. You'll see it. You'll hit the QR code. You'll burn your 250 block. And then, of course, you will find out tomorrow whether you've got yourself that one of one NFT. There you go. Are you entering? Are we allowed to enter? I don't know if we're allowed, mate. I don't know if we're allowed to enter.
I don't know. There's a vicious rumor knocking around that you got yourself a Muhammad Ali NFT.
Ah, that's why I'm not in my usual office this week. That's maybe why I'm not usually in my usual studio, because I didn't want you to get upset.
I would have got extremely upset. Extremely upset. So
I'm saving that for the anniversary show, the 10th show next week, mate.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. You dare. You dare pull that out, I'll be fuming.
Listen, lots obviously to discuss over the weekend. Fantastic amount of mixed martial arts, which we'll get stuck into with Hafeel Fiziev and Armin Tsarukyan. What have you made of those press conferences? I know that I made light of the fact that there's quite a lot going on. Triple G, Canelo Part 3. Are you excited to see it on September the 17th?
Yeah, I am actually. I wasn't initially excited when they announced it prior to the Bivol fight, when they kind of mapped his year out and said he's going to go up to light heavyweight, fight Demetrius Bivol, then he's going to go into the trilogy fight with Golovkin. I was kind of like, what's the point? But then, of course, he lost to Bivol, had his wings clipped a little bit, and then I was like, okay, you know, maybe that's him done at light heavy, maybe it isn't. But now that puts a little bit more onus in the fact that Golovkin, maybe there's a chink in the armor there. So yeah, now it's announced. Now I've got the presses. Plus, Canelo was one pissed off little ginger man, wasn't he? I've got no idea why he was so upset, but he's pissed, man. And I'm like, why are you pissed?
Yeah, exactly.
You got an outrageous draw in the first fight, which you lost completely. And then you got the decision in the second fight, which I think he won, but a lot of people contest that. Triple G won that one as well. So why is he annoyed? Triple G should be annoyed. He's the one who's had to wait 4 years until he gets to the age of 40 for the trilogy fight. So yeah, that baffled me a little bit, but that threw me off, but didn't sort of throw Triple G off. Cool as ice as always. And yeah, man, I'm counting down the days now.
Do you want to see something quite cool?
Go on.
I know that you're aware of this because we just had a production meeting on it, mate, but there might be some of the people that aren't too clued up on this. Of course, you know about our Legends NFT range, and in there, you've got Alexander Ovechkin, who is one of, if not the best hockey player of all time. Now, as part of this show, I think it's only fair that we highlight that he's not just a wonderful hockey player. No, he's been scoring elsewhere. That sounds a bit wrong, that, doesn't it? He's been scoring elsewhere. The man has taken to the football pitch, or for those that are watching outside of the UK, the soccer field. That's right. Check this out. Check this of Legends Block Asset, Legend NFT. There he is, just there. Look at this left peg on him now. Watch him. Little left peg on him now.
There he is, the number three.
There you go.
Oh, man. Yes.
Beautiful. Just getting a nice little goal in a game at the weekend. Playing for Dynamo Moscow in an out-of-season match. There you go.
Yeah, the beauty of that as well is his dad actually wore number three and played first team for Dynamo Moscow as well. So it's a nice little family thing for him there. But he is heading back to the NHL, of course. He plays for Washington Capitals. And as you said earlier, one of the greatest players of all time. And I think he's on course, if I'm wrong, right or wrong, he's on course to actually overtake Wayne Gretzky in the total number of... is it called a goal in high hockey? I think it is, isn't
it? Yeah.
Total number of goals scored in the whole of NHL. He's still on course to beat Wayne Gretzky. So yeah, absolutely. That's why he's part of our Legends NFT series. And incidentally, if you want an NFT of Ovechkin, get over to Magic Eden. Price now. I had a look earlier. You're looking at about three sol. There you go. You get everything on this show.
Ovechkin will be absolutely loving you now. Absolutely loving you. Not only showed him doing a bit on the football pitch, you're flogging his loving NFTs. Good lad. Good lad. Listen, for those that have just joined the live stream, we have launched a Block Burn event. Don't worry. I'll remind everybody of how you enter that Block Burn event as we get further into the show. So we'll do that a little bit later on in the program. All right. So make sure you're around for that. Now, looking forward to this. Yeah, we've told you who's on the show. We've got Armin Sarukian coming a little bit later on, but right now let's get this geezer on because he is the main event in 2 weeks' time. Can't wait to see him doing his thing. We are high as kites on the lightweight division, and he is a major, major player in it. Welcome to the show, the one and only Mr. Rafael Fiziev. There he is. Rafael, how are you, sir? You well?
Guys, what's happening? Thank you. I'm good.
Great to have you on the program, man. Great to have you on the program. Obviously, 9th of July is the date where you're taking on RDA. I know that this fight has been made on a couple of occasions in the past. It's fallen off. How are you recovering from the COVID last time, man? Everything cool? The training camp's gone okay? Everything sweet?
I hope everything good. I hope. I don't know soon. I don't know true. We'll see this 9th of July. And but I feel good. I have a great camp. And long camp, yeah, all good. I'm just waiting to fight now. We have just 1.5 weeks, yeah.
That's it, man. Listen, we're going to talk fights in a minute, but I want to pick a bone with you, right? First and foremost, you are probably one of the most creative when it comes to call-outs after a fight in the UFC. What is your problem with Vince Vaughn, man? Why do you want to fight with Vince?
Oh, I see him. I see him like before, you know, like when I fight with Bobby Green and this is short notice, like, and before this fight, like, 7 or 9 people like don't want to fight with me, and I make my decision like never to call fighters because nobody want to fight with me. That's why I call everyone, but not the fighters, you know. And I see Vince Vaughn and I think, oh, this is a good idea for call him to fight, maybe.
Man, he only came to watch and you ended up calling him in for a fight. The camera went on his face and he was like,
ah. We don't know. Sometimes we come and enjoy, but sometimes shit happens, you know.
Mate, absolutely. And obviously, the more famous one, we've got to play this for you. For people that have not seen this, where have you been? This is the best call out at the end of a fight ever. Roll this. This is Rafael calling out.
Hezbollah! Hezbollah! You think I will watch what I do all my life in the UFC? If you want money fight, you fight with me, bro!
Rafael, you got to talk us through it, man. What was going... What was that? Obviously, that was premeditated. You were thinking, when I win, I'm going to get on the microphone and do Hezbollah.
This, yeah... You know, before fight, I sit and think like, oh, like what I can do, like some funny, some creative, you know. And I think, oh, Hezbollah, everyone talk about him, like he tried to make some fights. And I think, oh, I call him if I win, yeah. And just like this is like 5 seconds before an interview, like, oh, I think, oh, Hezbollah, and I start talking about him, you know. But this is so funny because I say like all my life in the UFC, I'm just 2.5 years in the UFC or 3 years.
Did he contact you? Did anybody from Hezbollah's team get back in contact with you for fun?
Nah, nobody. Only Hezbollah when UFC make this small promo before my last fight with Real Bread. He sent me some message like, oh, you want hype? I say, oh, no, I don't want hype. He sent me like, hey, you want hype, but you cannot make hype? I say, no, you see, I already make big hype, you know? And he said like, hey, I can't stop you easy. I can't smash you. I say, yes, of course, you can do everything.
Brilliant. But the last one for me on this, because Nick's got loads for you. The funny thing for me, I watch a lot of what Chael Sonnen does online, and he got confused because he was so into what you did that performance-wise. You call out Hezbollah. He genuinely thought Hezbollah was some UFC fighter that he didn't know anything about. So he went and searched for his ranking. He wanted to know where he was ranked in the UFC, and then he obviously ended up finding out who Hezbollah was, and he was a little bit upset about it. But it was amazing that he genuinely believed that Hezbollah was a fighter that you were calling out, and it wasn't a joke.
Yeah, you know, like when we call somebody, when now, what happened now in the UFC? you call somebody and he say, oh, I want to fight with somebody who top on me, you know, and everyone talk same. And that's why, like, oh, okay, I don't want to call to anybody. Like, I'm give this job to Sean Shelby, oh, and he make good job.
Fair. Of all the guys in the top 10, though, Rafael, RDA, Rafael Dos Anjos, fantastic name, former champion. You know, this is going to be the biggest scalp of your career so far. Is that why you've been persisting to make this fight happen?
Oh, yeah. For me, I'm fun. I'm his fan. Like not fan too much, but I'm watch his fights like before he's a champion. I'm always like, so, oh, Rafa, let's go. Like because his name, Rafael. And when he fight with Pettis for title, like I'm so, oh, Rafa, let's go. Like, you know, I'm sit like this. And also when he lost to Alvarez, I said, oh, I'm sad, you know, because like, yeah, I like him and I respect him. And I more respect him now when he's agreed to fight with me second time.
Yeah. How's the, Adam touched on it earlier, but how has been the COVID recovery? Obviously, Hamzat Chimaev, we've had him on the show, and he had a real tough time with COVID. You know, at one point, he never thought he'd fight again. He felt so ill. How was it with you? Was it okay? Was it brief, or are you still feeling the after effects?
I'm still cough, little bit, just little bit sometime. I think this is still from COVID, maybe. But I feel good. I feel good. I feel great. I don't think like I'm still have something from this COVID, you know. I'm good.
Where are you now? Are you in the US now? I know you were in Thailand a few weeks ago.
I'm in the US now in Florida. I'm already here from beginning of June.
Are you still going backwards to Thailand to coach? Are you still coaching at Tiger Muay Thai?
Yep, still, yeah. Back after fight, I back and come back to coaching.
Did you, when you went back there, was Brad back there? Because obviously Brad Riddell, your last opponent, he coached there too. Have you seen him since the fight? Have you crossed each other in the gym?
Yeah, when he finished the teaching and I come to his place, we train together and we still in the same gym. Yeah, but after half year when he finished teaching, he's back to New Zealand and all time stay there. Just some time he coming to start his camp before fight in Thailand. Yeah. He makes up a couple of weeks in Thailand and after he go and make all camp in New Zealand.
What was the emotions like after that fight? Because former training partners, friends, you gave us an unbelievable fight, and obviously we all know about the finish. What was the emotions like for you at the end of that?
Oh, I don't. You know what emotions like? You fight with guy who you like, and you're good with him. Yeah, we talk with him many times in internet. We send sometimes some jokes. I'm kidding. Him like send him some funny video, he sent me some, you know, and fight happened, I win, and for me, you know, now I'm shy a little bit when I see him, I'm a little bit shy, you know, like you know, like but this is what it is, you know, we need to understand it. I think he understands it and he's same respect me and I like I him, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Listen, how far are you away from a title shot? Let's get to it, man. This division's hot. You're hot. So how far are we away from it?
Whew. After this fight, I'm coming too close. I'm coming too close and I believe for this. I believe like one more fight and maybe I'm one more who can fight for the title. And but I still have Rafa in my horizon. And I need to beat him. I need to step.
It's an unusual division because as strong as the top 10 is, and you know, there's some stellar names in there. There's a lot of experience at the top of the 155 division. The 10 behind those guys, the next, and I include you in that, kind of like this next generation of lightweights coming through. In 2 years' time, this whole weight division could look very different than it looks today. There could be a lot of veterans in there, a lot of guys that have been in the UFC for a long time on their way out, and we could see a whole new top 10. That's got to be exciting for somebody like yourself.
Yeah, me too. I think lightweight division is very tough. It's very tough. Like, if you wanna touch somebody there, you touch the very strong fighter. He have everything: striking, wrestling, and all. Like top 15 now. Top 15 now is so dangerous. Everyone, like before, like when I not in UFC, when I was not in UFC, like I see like couple some divisions, and I think, oh, this guy top 15, and I think, how he top 15? He's like, he not look like top 15. He's like, you know, I can't beat him. Like, but now I see like top 15 in the lightweight, and I think, wow, that's good. That's good. And also has some people who not in the ranking in the lightweight. He also good. And top 10, like we have like just who top 10 now? Ferguson, Matheus Gamrot, like all these guys, like Dariush, Islam Makhachev, Chandler, or this everyone like monsters, you know? And this tough division.
Where are you at right now, you personally? Because you're 29 now, you've got a lot of experience. You know, you've just said then you believe a big win over RDA, you're probably one more win away from a potential title opportunity. But in terms of your ability level, where you're at, are we getting now to see Rafael Fiziev at 100%? Are you 90%, or is there still so much more to come?
No, I think I'm still growing. I'm still growing, and I need to take my time in the cage. You know, I'm still growing. I feel it. I'm still growing like MMA fighter, not like striker or like this. But I'm still growing like MMA fighter. I'm still feel every sparring. I still feel how I do like something new, something much more best. You know, some move, some change levels, some takedowns. You know, I try to make now I try to make a mix, not only striking and footwork, you know. And like, I'm still growing. I'm 29. Like, I'm not young and not old. I still have like 4 years minimum. Like, yeah. And train and hard, like, and fight hard. 4 years minimum, I think. Because before 33, everyone like good in this division. That's why I think I'm still growing.
Do you think when you challenge for the lightweight title, the guy that you'll challenge will be Charles Oliveira, or do you think it'll be somebody else?
So can you repeat, please?
Yeah. So the current champion is Charles Oliveira. Well, we think, I know that the title is vacant, but most people would say that Charles Oliveira is the 155 champion. When you get the opportunity to challenge for the championship, do you think it will be him that you are fighting, or do you think it will be somebody else? Will somebody else have beaten him before you get to him?
You know, yeah, for me, he's still champion. He's still champion for me. Like, nobody win him still. And for me, he's champion now. But I think this is my vision, like how I see. I think if he fight with Makhachev, Makhachev win him. And I think when I get this chance for fight for title, I think this is Makhachev.
You versus Makhachev, what a fight that is, man. Jeez, that's a fight. Woof. Listen, Rafael, why did you choose mixed martial arts? Because you're extremely well educated. You've got a law degree. I know that obviously your father used to be a police officer. I know that you've had a little bit of time in the police force. Why did you choose martial arts?
First, I used martial arts because I coming to school from village and like children in the school, they punch me. They punch me first day and they're like, oh, you want to fight? And somebody punched me. And like, oh, you know, like, and next day I go to train. I go to Muay Thai.
Wow.
Yeah. And after Muay Thai, why going to transfer to mixed martial arts because I think mixed martial arts is the top of all sports.
Yeah.
Agreed. Agreed. Do you think one day that you'll go back into like the law degree that you've got? Do you think you'll go back down that route once you've finished, or are you mixed martial arts for life?
No, mixed martial arts for life for sure. And when I'm done, like finish my career, I think I'm just teach somebody, open some my gym. And but for me is what my dream, what I want to do is make cold weapons, knives.
I was going to ask you this because I've read some crazy things on the internet about you, my friend. And one thing that I've read about you is that you're into being a blacksmith. That's what we call it here in the UK. I don't know if that works for you. It's people that obviously can forge swords, knives, and various things like that. Is that something that you can do already, or is that something that you're learning to do?
No, I'm still learning now. I'm just learning. I'm reading about it, learning a lot and reading a lot. But first, you know, if you want to start it, blacksmith, make weapons.
Yes.
You need know a lot first, and after you need to make some room for all stuff for make it. Yeah, but now I don't have time for this. But soon I think I have more time, and this is first what I can do.
Man,
nice. Mate, I want a halfway on fuzzy sword. That's what I
that's
want.
That's it. Listen, when you start that, we're coming with cameras and we're watching you make a sword, man. And that's sure, what
I think you. I remember your words. I remember because my weapons. Remember, guys, my weapons. That's I make this is so good weapons. Everyone like it for sure.
Yeah, look at him. I do not doubt. Listen, over the next 10 days, stay well, stay safe, have a safe wake up, my friend, and we look forward to seeing you do your thing. On July the 9th. This is going to be one hell of a main event. Good luck.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yes, thanks, if you have next, Arman, yeah, Tarukan?
Yes.
Yes. Did you watch the fight last week with Gamrot?
That's so beautiful fight. So mm-hmm. beautiful. I'm watching like this first time in my life. I'm watching fight where I have a lot of wrestling and I'm watching like this in my like... You know,
drool.
Water. Yes. Say him big hello from me.
We will, yeah. No doubt.
Absolutely.
Top man. Nice one, Raphael. Take care, my man.
Take care.
What a guy.
He's not the only one. He's not the only one that was drooling watching that fight. It was incredible.
He's in a fight. Like I said, a week on Saturday. This week, obviously, we will preview UFC 276 for you. But that, as you rightfully pointed out at the start of the show, the lightweight division's red hot. And if you can beat a former champion, who himself is in decent nick at the moment, if you can beat a former champion, you jump to the front of the queue. And what he said there, I can't disagree with. Because if he wins against Rafael Dos Anjos, it's likely that they'll put him in with, let's say, a Justin Gaethje.
Yeah.
And then we're talking, you win that, you're basically fighting the champion next.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what makes it so exciting. You know, as stacked as it is, opportunities come thick and fast. And when you're as talented as Rafael Fiziev, of course, then them opportunities probably come sooner than most. But he's right, you know, and look down that list of the top 20, top 25 at 155 pounds. Guys deep in the 17, 18, 19 ranks would give a fight to Charles Oliveira in it for the title. That's how stacked the division is. It's insane.
Well, it's like what we were just referring to the main event at the weekend. The two guys that were involved in that at the weekend, we've obviously had Gurum recently against Ismagulov.
Yeah. You know, so there's another two.
It's crazy. I know. It is absolutely crazy. And they, like you said, they would give absolute hell to anybody in that top 10.
But you know who else is unranked? Gregor Gillespie is unranked.
Jeez.
Hayes unranked. Jalen Turner's unranked. Azatar's unranked. Like, they're all legit guys who could beat anybody in the top 10 on any given Sunday. So, mate, there's a tweet come from me after the show. I'm telling you, the not top 10 beats the top 10.
There you go. There you go, stuff. Now then, before we get into UFC 276, I know that you want to talk about tennis, don't you? Are you a bit? Is this your 2 weeks of the year that you actually pay any attention to the tennis?
Well, as somebody that once put an ace past former Wimbledon champion Pat Cash, true story. There's a video out there somewhere on the old internet. Yeah, I love tennis. I'm one of those guys. I have a tennis racket and I dust it off every summer for about a fortnight, and then it gets lashed at the back of the under the stairs. But yeah, listen, I wanted to talk about it because, of course, it's Wimbledon. It's the biggest event on the calendar, certainly for British tennis. We've got two marquee names in Emma Raducanu, of course, and the main man, Andy Murray. And they're both in the hunt. I know they're both nursing injuries and they've both got all kinds of other things going on, but they're both in the hunt. But actually, the big talking point yesterday was Andy Murray's opening round game on centre court when he served underarm. I didn't even know that was legal. He served underarm.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about... Mate, like I say, I only chip in every now and again or when someone gets to a final. That's the only time I chip into tennis. I didn't know you could do that. That's amazing.
Neither did I. So apparently the guy stood so far back on the baseline that Andy Murray just went, well, fuck you then, and just done a little tiny underarm lob to save to get it in. I didn't even know you could do that, man. I think Michael Chang may have done it 100 years ago or whatever. But yeah, I was thinking, fuck me, my old tennis coach when I was a kid used to drill me for hours to save properly when I could have just, you know, played like a 10-year-old and just underarmed it over the fence. But yeah, that was the big talking point yesterday anyway. So how are you not bang into tennis?
What do you mean?
Well, you're from Stockport, home of Fred Perry, iconic British
mate,
tennis player.
I'm into his clothes. Yeah. I bought a couple of his t-shirts down the years. Not really for me. Oh, dear. That mod retro gear. Yeah, listen, we've got a Block Burn event that is up and running. You might be able to see, well, if you've only just joined the stream tonight, you will see various pieces of imagery flashing up on the screen, which identifies certain people that are burning the block, because one lucky burner is going to get an exclusive upgraded NFT courtesy of Dos Bracket. There's a one of one. The winner of that will be announced on tomorrow's, there's the NFT, there's the upgraded NFT from Dos Brack on tomorrow's Discord podcast. So you can see there's a QR code there for you. All you got to do, scan that QR code. That's the wallet that you're burning your block to. 250 block is what you've got to burn. And once you've burnt that, you might be the lucky owner of that on tomorrow's podcast. I'll give you more information on that as we get a little bit closer to the end of the show. UFC 276 this weekend, which we're all excited about. Two title fights. You've got Israel Adesanya defending the middleweight crown once again. This time he's taking on Jared Cannonier. And then we've got the rematch. It's the trilogy fight between Alexander Volkanovski, the featherweight champion, and Max Holloway. We've done a little interesting piece this morning, actually, we recorded this, didn't we? Where we look back at the first two fights, because they're hotly contested. Let's be straight. You speak to anybody in the MMA world, whether they be fans or media members, they will always speak about certain fights where maybe they didn't agree with results. We're going to speak to Armin Tsarukyan in a moment or two, which coincidentally is going to be a fight that we didn't agree with the results. But we'll get Armin on and get his take on that in a minute. But regarding the Holloway and Volkanovski first two fights, it was interesting to watch it back, apply the unified scoring criteria to those particular fights this morning, wasn't it?
Yeah, because the first fight, we were lucky enough to be ringside. We were working in Las Vegas and we were up close and personal when Volkanovski caused what can be considered, at the time at least, an upset to become the new champion. And you agreed with the decision. You thought Volk just edged it. I didn't agree. I thought Max Holloway edged it on the night. And that was my kind of lasting memory of the fight. So sitting down on Monday evening to rewatch the fight was an eye-opener, because I was wrong, because Volkanovski did indeed win that first fight and my recollection was wrong. But then watching the second fight, I was convinced that, as I was on the night, that Max Holloway definitely won the second fight. And that's that. I watched it again yesterday, scored it properly yesterday, and I believe he definitely did win that fight. So that's why we're getting a trilogy of a fight where one guy won both, because in reality, it's one win each. This is the rubber match. And this is probably, hopefully, potentially the last fight they will ever have. But we know it probably won't be.
Look at you. You can't just disregard the second fight there.
No,
Mr. Volkanovski, and he had your opinion, he lost.
Well, this is the exact same reason why we're getting Canelo Triple G 3 in the boxing, because the world knows that Canelo didn't win both those fights.
Correct.
Likewise, the world knows Alexander Volkanovski didn't win both the fights.
I disagree. He did. That's not what I said this morning, though, is it?
I'm just going to say you absolutely
No, we can't wait for it, because it's going to be an absolute fantastic weekend, UFC 276 with that.
Fight
with and Israel Adesanya and Jared Cannonier. What a great fight that's going to be, because I genuinely think that this fight might be the fight that we probably expected from Paulo Costa, Israel Adesanya. I don't think Jared Cannonier will die wondering. I think he will. If he's going to go out, he'll go out on his shield and he'll throw the kitchen sink at Izzy this weekend, which will bring out the best of Izzy. And I think we'll see the best of Jared Cannonier as well. I think we're in for a good fight.
Yeah, I think Izzy's out to just prove to the world that everything we knew prior to the Jan Blachowicz fight, that he is the best middleweight on the planet, that he did dare to be great, and he is more than capable of coming back and dominating for an entire era. I think his time at light heavyweight isn't done either. I don't think there's any rush to get back up there with a killer like Jiří Procházka as the champion. But timing is everything. And I think one day we will see him go back up to light heavyweight. But for now, it's a little bit of fresh meat for him down at middleweight. And there's new middleweight contenders pushing the way through. Hopefully the main man himself, Darren Till, can get his act together in down in London and get a win there. And then maybe set up a final eliminator. The dream is not lost yet for a final Till title opportunity. But listen, for me, Adesanya on his day, probably the most entertaining male fighter in the UFC. So entertaining, so technical, just brilliant on the feet. And what Cannonier's got to do, Cannonier's strength is on the feet, but he is a big, big dude, Cannonier, massive for the middleweight. And he's just got to try and fight his own fight, but it's hard against someone as iconic almost as Israel Adesanya. You know, people lose fights before they get in the octagon with him. That's happened twice now for me. I think his last two fights, Bobby Knuckles and Vettori, I think both of them seemed a little bit too happy with going the distance rather than actually trying to take that belt away. Cannonier can't afford to go the distance because I don't think there's any way he beats Adesanya on points. So he's got to roll the dice. He's got to go for it. He's in Las Vegas. Why not? But it could be tailor-made for Adesanya to put on a highlight reel performance.
Looking forward to it. Should be a cracker. The card's wicked as well, because you've got obviously Pedro Munoz and Sean O'Malley on there as well. And Ian Garry is on that card as well. And hopefully, if Ian Garry is, let's just say, happy next week, that's the best way of putting it. He's always happy, but you get what I'm saying. If he's come off the back of a victory or a great performance, hopefully we'll have him on the block party next week to come and have a little bit of a chat with us. One man that very kindly has given up a bit of time to come and join us on this Tuesday night is a guy that we felt for on Saturday in particular, because he put on a fantastic performance. It was a wonderful, wonderful fight. If you like mixed martial arts, this fight is one of those fights that you kind of show your mates that aren't into it. You go and show your friends that don't. Those friends that come to you and say, I don't really watch UFC, show them this, because it's absolutely captivating from start to finish. It's a fantastic, fantastic main event. And the man that we're about to bring onto the show can count himself very unlucky that he didn't get the decision. It is, of course, the one, the only, Mr. Armin Sarukian. Look at this guy. He's got the shades on, man. Looking good. How are you, Armin? You well?
How are you?
Very well indeed, mate. Very well indeed. Thank you so much for giving up some time to come and join us. I know that we're now a couple of days after Saturday night. In the immediate aftermath, we could see your disappointment with interviews. How have you processed what happened on Saturday night in the next 24, 48 hours?
You know, I thought I did enough during the fight, you know, and I thought I won this fight, but, you know, judges, they didn't want they didn't things like this, and they gave that fight to Deos Gamrot. But I watched that fight again, and I don't understand like how they can give him fight. And I think I did enough for win, you know. And I got upset, but you know, I did a lot of mistakes. It's good. I know what I gotta do, you know, to be better.
It was a brilliant fight. During the fight, what was the feel from your corner? As you go back after every 5 minutes and you're speaking to your corner, was the general feeling that you were winning the rounds as the fight was going on?
Two rounds I won 100%. Third round they told me I won two. First round was like they told me it was very close. And fifth they told me like we don't know, like they can give you and give him, you know, because you were good like first 2 minutes, and then you gave him like your back, like he held you like 2 minutes, and then you wake and last 15-20 seconds I was like, you know, better position, and I did ground and pound, and they said you won, but you know, not like all rounds probably, but maybe one round you lost, but we didn't know that I lost all five, you know. And they told me I shouldn't wrestle, and I gotta like punch him, you know, because I look better in striking, you know. But I don't know why, like I wanted to wrestle him, you know, because I'm wrestled too, but I did mistakes, you know. I didn't listen my corners. It was big mistake. And next fight, I'm going to listen 100% my corners. And I didn't know, but I believe my wrestling is good and I can take him down in fifth round, but I couldn't. And yeah, like this fight, you know, after I got upset, you know, when I lost.
I actually scored the fight, and we were talking about it. We did a fight review on Monday where we broke it down in quite detail. I think you easily won the first two rounds. I don't think there was any conversation there, Arman, that they were your rounds. Your kicking game was on point. You dominated. You were fierce. You were striking hard. The eye-catching shots. I think Gamrot came back into it in the third round, but it was very close. That third round could have gone either way. I think you absolutely had those moments. And then in the fourth round, as you say, a bit more grappling success from yourself. He got a face crank towards the end of the round, but then you reversed the position and you were punching him in the face when the bell went at the end of the round. And but so even if you would give those rounds to Gamrot, which would make it 2-2, for me, it was all about it could all have been about the fifth round then. And I thought you won the fifth round quite clearly. Once again, your kicking game dominated the round. So you should feel aggrieved. You should be pissed off because, you know, I looked at a lot of the media scores on the night and most of the media scored the fight for you as well.
Yeah, it's good, but, you know, but I lost that fight. You know, I know, like, I got to be better and I got to train a lot and won, like, not like close fight, you know. I want to win, like, you know, like one step more, you know, like all rounders or like finish him or like choke him, you know. And I don't want to like await judges' decision, you know.
Yeah, you'll see
now,
him again.
As a fan, yeah,
listen, you will see him fan, again.
I like to hear that from you, Armin, right? Because this makes me frightened of you now, my friend. You know, that there's going to be some serious war coming somebody's way the next time out. Have you had conversations in the immediate aftermath with the UFC, with Sean Shelby, about matchmaking and what you want to do next and when you can fight next? Have you got a plan in your mind when you want to be fighting next?
I want to fight September or October, and, you know, I didn't get, like, an injured. Just here a little bit, but not like here, but this is nothing, you know. I get like these things every my sparring, you know, and but nothing serious. And you know, I already start training, you know, that's why I'm young, my recovery is good, and during the fight I didn't get injured, and I feel like energy, and you know, when you lost fight, you got more like motivation. I don't know, like you want to train like crazy, you know, you don't want to stop, you know, you think like you want to improve immediately your mistakes, and you want to go to the gym and train like, you know, 24 hours. You don't want to go like relax, you know, and like eat a lot, you know, like when you won, like, oh, when you win, like, oh, I win, I can like rest, you know, I can eat whatever I want, I can go like for vacation. But now, you know, I feel like, you know, I feel not good, you know.
Yeah.
But my parents, like, my coaches say, oh, no worries, you won this fight. But, you know, in my score, I have a loss, you know. But I just gotta do my work, you know, and to be focused on my skills, on my trainings, and I know one day I become champion because I'm smart and I train hard, and I do everything like professional, and I think I gotta be deserved to be champion one day.
Yeah, who do you want next? We were cage side in Abu Dhabi, weren't we? We were cage side in Abu Dhabi when you thought you beat Matt Frivola. There's a Abu Dhabi card coming up September, October time, that the timing could be perfect.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, you know, but I would like to fight in Apex or like in UFC, in US, or like to be like in many when, you know, in Abu Dhabi is going to be preview, and I can't be like many when, because many when is going to be title short, you know, and my goal to be in main event, because main event is different level, and I gotta fight five rounds. I gotta used to, you know, have a fight like 25 minutes war, you know, and one day when they give me like title shot, I already be like this fight, you know, in 25 minutes, and you know, five rounds is like different level, and now I know like. First round, second round, I started very fast. You know, I gotta be like more like calm, you know, wait, win the round, but not like crazy go, you know, try like knock him out. And this fight, I know my mistakes, and I'm gonna work, and I would like to have a next fight five rounds, because UFC, they're gonna give me that opportunity, because they know mostly workers in UFC, they told me I won this fight, and not mostly, I think all of them, they told me, like, I'm in PI now too, like, when I meet people and they told me you won this fight, and fighters too, I don't know, nobody tell me, like, oh, you lost this fight. I don't know, like, how like, everyone, like, tell me, like, you won this fight, but judges, like, didn't give me my win, but it's okay, you know. It is what it is, you know. I'm not gonna be like a girl and cry, or I won this fight, give me like rematch or something like this. I know one day we're gonna fight again, because I'm in top, and I know I'm getting better every day. I'm young, you know. I train like a lot of different techniques, you know. But they are old, and he's like 31 years old, and he's like same like now. He's not gonna be better in 2 or 3 years. He's gonna be the same level, because you know what I mean, right? Like young guys can like change some skills, you know, like
But who do you want next? Who do you want next then? If it's not an immediate rematch, who do you want?
I checked like top 15, and I stayed in same position on number 11, and Mateusz, he became 8, and I saw there is Tony Ferguson, and he doesn't have a fight, because it makes sense to beat him, you know, and to get like top 10. I would like to fight with Tony Ferguson. And the UFC, if give me that opportunity is going to be good, you know, because he has a good name. Yeah, he lost last his fights, but he's still like in rank, you know, and he doesn't have a fight, and it makes sense to be to make that fight.
I'm down for that. I'm down for that. Listen,
I can't like call out, you know, guys from like the top five. Oh, guys, like let's fight, because you know, the first of all, they're not gonna fight with me, you know, because then they know like I can beat them.
Too much risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too much risk. But Tony Ferguson, he lost last his fights, and probably he doesn't have a choice, you know, if. If he doesn't offer, like, accept this fight, they can cut him. You know, that's why it makes sense to make this fight.
Let's
everybody there, but we gotta understand like who is gonna accept this fight.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
it's fair.
It's tough.
Yeah. Let's move off. MMA and talk about some other things, because anybody that follows you on social media knows that you've got a little bit of a thing for motor vehicles. You're into your cars, Armin. Yeah, you like doing a bit of drag racing, throwing a few donuts around and what have you, my friend. Is this your thing? Is this how you chill?
Yeah, I like do different things, and I like drive UTV, sport cars, and especially UTV. Yesterday I bought a new one. Yeah, from Las Vegas, and I'll send you Russia. The first of all, I'll send you Armenia and then Russia. And I want to go to, like, drive, you know, and, you know, like, when I go on the weekends, I feel like, you know, I feel good, and I get energy from there, you know. When you train, like...
There we go. We got you, man. We got you.
Yeah.
That's how you relax.
That's obviously taken from your Instagram. Talk us through it. Is this your car, or is this a car that you were using?
M5?
My car, yeah.
Wow.
That's a BMW M5, yeah?
Yeah.
That's... I love it.
Mate, you've got to drive it in a straight line, man. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? Why are you doing donuts?
That's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen on your Insta, I like
ATV, UTV, drive ATV or UTV, you know, more than like sports car.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this something that you do competitively, or are you just doing it for fun?
No, just for fun, you know. We go with friends to the mountains and drive there, you know, have a barbecue. And no internet, you know, no, like, no phones, just talk with your friend, like, eat, you know, drive, you know, when we talked, you know, like, help each other, you know, like, it's very interesting. It's like game, you know, you gotta come back. Yeah. If your car, like, break, you know, you gotta fix it. It's, like, interesting. And when you train very hard every day, you gotta, like, you know, like, do something else, you know, like, because you can... get tired very fast.
Yeah,
you can be at the gym like every day and train 24 hours because you're not gonna be good, you know. Your brain can stuck one day.
What's the dream car?
What
what's the dream car?
It's like I don't have a dream car, but because my dream car was like Subaru STI, like when I was young. Yeah, and I bought when I was 16 years old. My father bought for me. Yeah, and yeah, it was my dream car. But now I don't have a dream car because I know I can buy any cars. You know,
that's the one, bro. That's the one. But the Subaru when you were younger. Okay.
You wanna have like different, you know, cars, you know, to be like to drive. But you know, my parents, my friends, they already have like the best cars in the world, and I already drove that. And you know, my favorite car is like super fast, super comfortable. and it's BMW M5 competition. It's like, I think for me, I drove like a lot of different cars, and Lamborghini, Ferrari or something like this, but this car is like different level, you know. You can like drive fast, you can drive like slow, you know, you can like, you have a four seats, you know, you can go wherever you want, like, and like puzzle, you know, like four things in one car, you know.
Perfect, man. Listen, you'll be getting an advertisement deal. You'll be the face of BMW the way that you're speaking about them. Tell you.
Because everywhere, like my friend, mostly my friends like Mercedes, like AMG, but I hate AMG. I like BMW. I'm like, yeah. I tell them we have a like. I don't know.
A bit of fun.
My car, you know.
Perfect, man.
Like me.
Yeah.
And I have a horse, and I called my horse like M-ka.
Serious?
Yeah.
Is it a racehorse or is it a horse that you ride?
No, just ride horse. I just ride horses, like not like for like, you know, not some crazy competition, just for myself, you know. I like riding. Yeah.
Have you always done that since you were young? You've always rode horses?
Yes, since when I was young, I like horses, but I didn't have horse. And when I started make money, I bought horse, but I was scared. I can't like ride, and I can't touch. I couldn't touch that horse, you know. But I bought it, and I didn't know how to ride, and like it was crazy. I said like whatever, I'm down like, and I just tried to see it, and my horse like throw me, you know, like, I flipped like 10 times, you know, and I didn't know that horse was like not for riding, you know, that horse was like crazy, you know, and
I gave Jesus.
Special people like who gotta like teach him, you know, because it was like wild horse, but I didn't know that. I just saw this horse and I said, oh, horse, can I buy it? Yeah, you can buy it. Like, but they but I didn't know about horse. And then I started like watch some video in YouTube, you know, how to ride horse. Yeah. That's crazy. But I fought like maybe 20 times or 25 times. And then like it horse like was crazy. I don't know. Yeah. And now that horse scary of me, you know, now like different. When I come, like you know, nobody can ride that horse now. Just me, you know.
Wow.
Mate, yeah. Oh, but you're an athlete, man. You've got to look after yourself, yeah? You can't be buying wild Mustangs out of somebody's field. You can't do that, you crazy man.
And trying to tame them yourself.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, but I have a video, like, when I couldn't touch that horse, you know, like, I wanted touch, but, you know, I was scared. Like, it was funny, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. It's insane. And do you think you'll get more horses in the future? Is this a whole thing for you now? Is that the dream to have a whole stable?
Yeah. I already got second one, and it was like super fast horse because he was his father and mother, like they have a good blood, you know. And I know about horse everything, and there are a lot of different horse for walking, you know, for running, for like, I know, for mountains, for like different. And for example, Arabic horse, it's like they run good, but they're scary of like everything, you know. You can go to the forest and like ride there, because if they hear some noise and they're gonna be like, they go crazy, yeah. And that's why I choose like good one, you know, for me, what I need now. Yeah. And but that horse, he's young still, but when I go to Russia, and I'm gonna start to looking for them.
Fair play. Listen, Armin, it's been fantastic finding out a little bit more about you and the personality that you have. You're hilarious, absolutely superb, man. And it's good to see you smiling as well off the back of what happened at the weekend. You were very, very unlucky. Hopefully the UFC give you a stellar fight in this lightweight division, because this division, man, this division's ridiculous. We've just been speaking to Rafael Fiziev. He sends his best regards to you. He says hello. But this division is crazy. There's so much talent at 155. Really?
Yeah, because it's good, you know. I like to be in the best division, you know. You can become star, you know. You can beat some stars, and it's good. For example, like, if I'm going to beat, like, Charles or, like, or Gage or Poirier, you know, they have already good name, you know. And because of that, they're gonna know me, a lot of people. And for example, Conor, you know, Conor has, like, millions followers, you know. Everybody like knows Conor, you know. If I beat Conor, you know, can imagine like how many guys gonna know me. And it's good to be in this division, and I'm happy, and hopefully one day I'll fight with Conor too, you know.
Yeah,
wow, there you go, man. There you go. Listen, Armin, thank you so much for giving up some of your time to come and join us. We hope to see you in September or October.
Yeah.
Again, competing at the very highest level in the lightweight division. Go well, mate. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye, guys.
Thanks, Armin. Take care.
Top man. There you go. Armin Zarukian joining us off the back of weekend's disappointment, a fight that, listen, we've been very vocal about it on all our channels, that we thought that Armin Zarukian, I personally think he won at least four of those five rounds, let alone three, but he didn't get the decision. Matthias Gamrot, not taking anything away from Matthias. If you actually look at the unified scoring criteria, I've said that so many times this week, it is justifiable. You can justify a 3-2 victory to Gamrot, but I personally thought that Armin got the job done 4-1. Good to see him in good spirits, though.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we probably should have mentioned Guram there. Obviously, both Georgian-born fighters. Guram Kutaladze, who we had on the show just a few weeks ago, suffered a very similar fate, was in a real close fight. One tiny moment in that fight probably changed the pattern of the fight. He ended up losing a decision when he probably should have won a decision. I know Ethan, our guy there at Block Asset, will be cheering right now because he's Guram's biggest fan. But it's a tough time, but likewise with Guram, exactly the same with Armin. Their stock hasn't dropped whatsoever.
No.
I think a lot of people go, you've been hard done by there. And the UFC aren't daft. The UFC won't suddenly tumble them down the rankings. They'll still stay up in and around where they are because they know the level that Armin's at. They know the level that Gamrot's at. They know this is the next generation of lightweight title contenders. It's just the fact that this is the UFC and we get spoilt. We get these incredible fights when it doesn't necessarily need a belt on the line, which we have to wait so long for in boxing. You just get these great fights. Both though, if stock got raised, our man will absolutely come again. And you know what? Maybe that loss, just put his feet back on the ground, just remind him about his journey, remind him about where he's got to go. He's only a young guy, as he said there. You know, Gamrot's got a couple of years on him. It could be the making of our man to regain that loss. And I think the messages in the side there, but I'm just reading, flicking past, everyone's saying same thing. A fear for whoever the UFC match him with next, because Armin looks like he's going to tear someone apart.
That's right. It ain't going to judges next time, is it? No. There you go. There you go. Listen, we're just going to remind you of the new event that we've got going on, the Blockburn event. Mike, our producer, what I'm going to ask, Mike, is if you can play the first VT again of the mutated NFT, just to remind everybody of what they can win.
I'm happy, really glad I got sunshine. In a bag, I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. I'm happy, I'm feeling glad I got sunshine. In a bag, I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on.
Love that tune, by the way. Anyway, this is the evolution. It's the start of the evolution of the Block Asset NFT collection. And what we're doing tonight, we're having a block burn event. And we're going to do this every single week from now on. This is going to be the theme of the block party on a Tuesday evening. We're going to have a block burn event where you burn 250 block and one burner will receive something exclusive. And the exclusive situation this week is this NFT, which has been upgraded personally by Dos Brack. You send 250 blocks to the Block Asset Burn wallet. The QR code for that Burn wallet is on screen right now. All tokens will be burnt and taken out of circulation. The new owner of this NFT will be announced in the Discord podcast hosted by Rusty tomorrow. All the regulars, make sure you tune in. Listen to Earn. For those that don't know, Listen to Earn is hosted by Block Asset and gives you the opportunity to earn 25 block for tuning in and listening to the show. It's very, very simple process. It's a fantastic listen. The way that you can find out more about that community is by clicking on the link that says Discord in the description for this stream. If you go into the descriptions, we've got obviously all the social media links there for you to join the Block Asset community. But more importantly, if you join the Discord, then obviously you can keep up to date with everything that's happening. And this is a fast moving process. It happens every single day. And as I said, the Discord podcast goes out on a Wednesday, of which the winner of this that we're talking about will be announced tomorrow. So one burner will get themselves a unique upgraded NFT by Dos Brack, and it is a one of one.
That's look at that as well. LFG, baby. Total burn, 22,250 block.
Well done.
Already insane.
Well done.
Insane.
Well done to everybody who has watched the live stream and participated in burning block. And as we said, that will be taken out of circulation once that is burnt. And tomorrow on the Discord, you'll find out whether in your wallet, you've got yourself a one of one.
Proper stuff, man.
Proper stuff. That's us done for this week.
Whoa. You can't even... I know we've gone mad on Armin Tsarukyan. You can't let this show end without a small celebration of the future welterweight champion. That is Shavkat Rakhmonov, who absolutely stole the show last week with his performance against Neil Magny. People don't do that to Neil Magny. Neil Magny is the gatekeeper for the top 10 for a reason. If you're not top of the tree, then Neil Magny is going to find you out, baby. But let me tell you right now, Shavkat is top of the tree. Shavkat is destined for UFC gold, and he proved it once again. Undefeated, stopped everybody in his entire career, never been out of round number two. Shavkat Rakhmonov, man, I love the kid. Newly signed to Block Asset as well. He will be on this show in the coming weeks. I guarantee it.
Well, so 10th show next week. I won't be surprised if it's a stellar show. If the guests are coming in thick and fast and Nick's already lined up maybe some Shavkat love, of which he'll book it and I won't be involved in that conversation. It'll be purely Nick and Shavkat on their own.
I'll pre-record it.
Yeah, exactly. No, fantastic performance from him at the weekend. It's going to be interesting to see how they match him because you can see where this is going. You can see where this is going, can't you? Shavkat.
Yep.
Versus Khamzat.
Exactly.
That's where this is going. Anyway, thank you very much for tuning in to this week's Block Party. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Two stellar guests, two top guys. And of course, Rafael Fiziev is fighting in a couple of weeks' time. So make sure you keep an eye out for that fight with Rafael Dos Anjos. And we look forward to seeing Armin Tsarukyan back in the octagon. Hopefully, as he said, sometime around September, October time. You rightfully pointed out that Abu Dhabi is the destination, but he wants the main event. So give him a fight night somewhere around the world because he wants those 25 minutes rather than the 15. Anyway, thank you very much for watching us. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel so you never miss out on any of these future block parties. We're here every single Tuesday night, 7 o'clock UK time. So make sure you come back. We'll catch you next time.